In many places around the world, locals report a persistent rumbling sound known as the hum. Some hear it, some don't. Sometimes it's intermittent. Other places it's been there as long as anyone can remember. Today we're going to take both a look and a listen at this strange phenomenon and see if the explanation is natural, man-made, physiological, or something else. The hum is coming right up on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode is sponsored in part by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. Can you hear the hum? Close the windows, turn off the electricity, and be very quiet. We're listening for the hum, a worldwide phenomenon in which a distant rumbling sound can be heard in some places by some people. No single cause has ever been found. The hum is infamous in some of its most noted locations: the Taos hum in New Mexico, the Bristol hum in England, the Auckland hum in New Zealand, the Kokomo hum in Indiana. In these places, some 2-10% of the population can hear the rumble. It's described as sounding like a distant diesel engine idling. Some people hear it better outdoors, some people hear it better indoors. Some people hear it higher up on the second story and others lower down in the basement. In some places, more men hear it than women. In others, more women hear it. Some hums are heard more often by older people and some by younger people. For some people, earplugs help, indicating that it's an actual audible sound. For others, they don't, indicating that it's not. Explanations ranging from insect noise to meteors to secret government projects abound, but no explanation is satisfying. So what exactly does this hum sound like? Let's listen to one. A number of people have made synthesized versions of the hum with the cooperation of sufferers, sort of like an audible police sketch of a suspect. Dr. Tom Moyer in New Zealand has done some research on the Auckland hum and has collected an actual audio recording, of which I'll now play a few seconds. It's really low frequency, so you might not be able to hear it on computer speakers. Here goes. Some people I spoke with did cast doubt on the authenticity of this recording, saying that nobody has ever successfully managed to record the hum, and that this sample sounds identical to some of the synthesized versions out there. However, when presented for purely illustrative purposes, this recording does give an accurate representation of the general consensus for what the hum sounds like. In response to my email inquiry, Dr. Moyer replied, "The recording on my webpage is for real. Having said that, this does not imply some great mystery, since very low-frequency sound can travel for vast distances." If the hum can be recorded by audio equipment, that proves that it's an actual audio phenomenon. But others have failed to record anything, and have put forth other possible explanations. Dr. David Deming of the University of Oklahoma has done probably the most scholarly research of the hum, though he's quite forthright in the lack of testable evidence. Hum research has had, thus far, to rely heavily on anecdotal reports and personal stories. But Dr. Deming has managed to conclude that the most probable explanation is that some people have been found to be able to hear radio waves. Now, before you spring for your tinfoil hat, allow me to read a snippet from the conclusion of the best paper on this phenomenon, Human Auditory Perception of Pulsed Radio Frequency Energy, by Drs. Joe Elder and C.K. Chow of the Motorola, Florida Research Laboratories. Human perception of pulses of RF radiation is a well-established phenomenon that is not an adverse effect. RF-induced sounds are similar to other common sounds such as a click, buzz, hiss, knock, or chirp. Furthermore, the phenomenon can be characterized as the perception of subtle sounds, because in general, a quiet environment is required for the sounds to be heard. To hear the sounds, individual must be capable of hearing high-frequency acoustic waves in the kilohertz range, and the exposure to pulsed RF fields must be in the megahertz range. The experimental weight of evidence does not support direct stimulation of the central nervous system by RF pulses. I did not find this research to be a convincing explanation for the hum, and the reason is that the perceived sound that subjects reported was radically different from descriptions of the hum. Apparently, in these cases where powerful RF pulses can induce a perceived sound in some humans, the frequency of the perceived sound is related to the size of the head and mass of the brain of the listener. It is not related to whatever signal may be contained in the RF. Adult humans who can perceive RF will seem to hear a sound around 13 kilohertz. That's a really high-pitched sound, too high for a lot of people to hear. This is a 13 kilohertz tone. Notice that no matter how you break that up into clicks, pops, or chirps, it's never going to sound anything like the hum. Thus, the evidence we have about humans hearing sounds caused by RF is that it's a very poor candidate for the hum. And just what might these radio sources be? The most frequently blamed suspect is the U.S. government's High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP, in Alaska. This is a research project that transmits RF straight up into the ionosphere at approximately 1/10,000th the power of the sun's normal electromagnetic radiation. So far, it has been able to produce a tiny artificial aurora, detectable by sensitive instruments but not to the naked eye, and also very low-frequency VLF waves at 0.1 Hz, which are otherwise difficult to create. Mentioning HARP and the hum in the same sentence appears to imply some kind of connection, and of course any government technology project raises suspicion among the paranoid. But I see no plausible connection between the two. There's been no correlation between HARP and the hum in either time or space. Reports from hum sufferers did not increase when HARP began only recently, and localized hum phenomena have never been near the HARP site either before or since it began. And, as discussed previously, the potential acoustic effects of RF radiation are completely dissimilar from the hum.
Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. skeptoid.com/gopremium.
Others blame cell phone networks, or LORAN, the radio-based predecessor to the global positioning system. These candidates have the same evidentiary problems as HARP, and their only real support comes from the crowd that promotes the pseudoscience of modern electromagnetic fields as health hazards. Mass hysteria has also been put forward as a possible cause. If the hum is some kind of hysteria, it's certainly not a mass one. Very few people hear the hum, even in the hotbed areas. Psychoacoustics and auditory hallucinations are not unheard of and have been correlated with other physiological effects of stress. I did a fair amount of searching around the web to see if I could find any cases of hum sufferers being treated with psychotherapy or other stress reduction, but did not find anything. So there does not yet appear to be any data supporting this hypothesis. But given the total number of people who have experienced the hum over the years, it seems probable that at least some of those cases could be explained by psychophysiology. If you go to your doctor to complain about the hum, the most likely diagnosis you'll get is tinnitus. This is the ringing in the ears that everyone gets at some point and is often associated with ear infections, tube blockages, or even head injuries. I've had this probably about as much as most people, and to me, it sounds nothing like the hum. However, by yawning or by tightening the tensor tympani muscle inside my ear, I can induce a loud, low-frequency rumble. It's hard to describe exactly how I do it, but I can make it last for maybe 30 or 40 seconds before the muscle fatigues. When I do this, it sounds exactly like the hum. It's also gotten stuck a few times when I've had a cold or blown my nose too hard, and when it goes by itself, it tickles and is really annoying, and I end up with this rumble in my head for a while. It's not hard to think that some people may have this condition chronically, and since this is the exact sound described by hum sufferers, it's virtually certain that some variation on this condition is the explanation for some of them. The city of Kokomo, Indiana, hired a firm, Ascentech Incorporated, to find the source of the Kokomo hum and suggest solutions. The lead investigator, James P. Cowan, did find two sources of industrial noise that were likely candidates: some cooling fans at the local Daimler-Chrysler factory emitting a 36 Hz tone, and an air compressor at the Hayes International plant emitting a 10 Hz tone. These were alleviated, but complaints did not cease altogether. Cowan's investigation was thorough, and he did conclude that there was probably something else causing at least some of these complaints. So how do you wrap up a question like the hum? When you assemble all the research and reports, you get a lot of footnotes, some data, some hypotheses, but mostly a giant pile of question marks. I think it does all lead to one conclusion that is pretty certain. There is no hum. At least not a single worldwide phenomenon that we can lump together and call the hum. There are many people all over the world who perceive a low rumble under certain conditions. Many of them are probably hearing an actual audible sound from some relatively mundane yet undiscovered source. Some are probably suffering from a problem with tinnitus or the tensor tympani muscle. Some are probably experiencing an auditory hallucination. Some may be hearing an undiscovered geophysical phenomenon. And there are probably some hearing something from a cause that nobody has even hypothesized about yet. But there are also many people experiencing similar things, different types of sounds, strange lights, unexplained feelings. We don't call all of those the hum, too. Whatever the various causes of these people's experiences is, it seems clear that there is no one quantifiable hum that adequately explains all these diverse reports. Thus, anyone doing hum research is really pursuing something that probably does not exist. Yes, it's possible that most of these cases share the same cause, but it's much more likely that very few of them do. Not very many people listen to podcasts, and if you enjoy Skeptoid, it's not always so easy to share with friends and family. Skeptoid is licensed to allow you to burn copies to a CD, which you can easily do with iTunes. Distribute them freely. You can also get the first 50 episodes in print. Just search Amazon.com for Skeptoid and buy the book. Or at least throw me a bone and post your positive review on Amazon. The book is the same as the podcast episodes you've already heard. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.